Well, today's message is entitled The Secret of Contentment. I'm really excited to share this with you because I think we're all needing a little bit more contentment in our lives. At least I know I am. And especially as the winter is long, the pandemic is going on for now about a year, you can get weary. Contentment sometimes can feel like, where is contentment? And so the question I want to ask, you can just think about this. Are you content today? Do you have contentment? Do you have contentment? And we want to look at the secret of contentment that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, shares with the church at Philippi. I want to share a quick story as I begin today about where I thought when I was younger I would find contentment in one area of my life. So if you know me at all, I really like techie gadget stuff. And in 2010, I had a fun opportunity to work at an Apple store. And I know some of my PC friends right now are probably like, boo, but I worked at an Apple store, so I was excited about it. I was so excited, and I love selling and setting people up with iPhones. The experience was awesome. People got so pumped up, and I always thought, man, if I ever have an iPhone one day, it would be really, really exciting. I think it would be really content. I think it would fill that cell phone longing deep in my soul, if you know what I mean. And for my Android lover friends, you're like, boo, just bear with me. Imagine it's a Samsung. You'll be happy at the end of this. So I remembered, because I was trying to be very strategically out of student loans, that a lot of my friends thought I had an iPhone. Actually, I had an Android phone, which is awesome, too. But it took me about 10 years to achieve that goal of what I wanted to get. And when you're wanting to get something, you can kind of feel like once you get it, you're going to be really content, right? The whole idea of, like, once I have this thing or maybe this relationship, whatever, like, I will find contentment, because contentment, for me, at least in that moment, I thought would be outside of me. And so eventually, I remember talking to my wife, Crystal. I'm like, man, this phone's kind of expensive. I've wanted to get it for, like, 10 years. You know, now it's 2020. Is that something I might be able to, like, you know, move forward to? And she was super gracious. She's like, yeah, okay, let's try to get an iPhone for you. So I was like, yay. So this has been 10 years in the making. This is like a long time to be wanting something. And when I got it, I was so excited. I got the iPhone. I was like, this is amazing. Like, I will never have any yearnings anymore. Like, no other phone will ever be this great, right? But it was kind of really sad for me. I remember when about just maybe just 2 weeks later, I was like, oh, it's an iPhone, right? I had gotten so excited about getting something, and not to say there's nothing wrong with getting a phone or Android or whatever you're getting, iPhone. I'm not trying to do a product placement for Apple either, but I thought that something outside it would bring contentment. And have you ever done that before? Maybe it wasn't a phone, maybe it was something bigger than that, or maybe it was a relationship or resolve. Like, if this happens, then I'll have contentment, right? If life gets a little bit easier, then I'll have contentment. I'm not content now, but once the pandemic's over, then I'll be content, right? Once the finances are more stable, then I'll have contentment. We can kind of focus on these external things that then it will automatically fit this internal, like, void or longing. But the secret of contentment is actually not in things. And Paul makes that really clear, actually, in the passage we're about to talk about. So it's in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10. We'll be there in a moment. And just as a reminder, this whole book and letter is really a thank you letter to the church at Philippi for being part of giving and supporting the ministry of Paul when there was a lot of other churches that weren't able to do that at the time. This is actually like a thank you letter. And in this last part, he talks about the secret of contentment. So let's look at this together in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. So Paul writes in verse 10 this. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Whew, that makes me interested. Hope you're interested to see what he's going to talk about. In whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And here's the secret right here. Some of you know it's coming. Others, this might be the first time. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And Paul continues his thank you letter. He says, yet it was kind of you to share of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you how you spoke through the Apostle Paul to the Christians at Philippi. And God, I believe how you can speak to us today, Lord. God, may our hearts be open. Give me your words to share, God, that you would be glorified and we'd be edified to pursue you together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about the secret of contentment. So once again, the wrapper for this or the contents is specifically thanksgiving for gifts that we're giving to help the ministry that Paul was doing. But he talks about the provision. And oftentimes when provision is too low in our mind, we can be discontent. And honestly, how much provision do we need in our life? Oftentimes it's just a little bit more, right? Just a little bit more, a little bit more money, a little less debt, or I have a little bit of this, or I have one house, or I have an apartment, I want two houses, or I have the car, now I want the truck, now I want the boat. Like, you know, it's just kind of, we can just keep going from one thing to another thing to another thing. I'm not saying like you can't have things, that's not what I'm saying. But if our contentment is trying to get more things, we are missing out on the secret of contentment. We will never be content just because our circumstances are changing. Sure, it can bring ease to our life, but the contentment that Paul's talking about is contentment that can be found only in Christ. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, one of the big themes, there's a couple of them in this book that we've been looking at, in the book of Philippians, is one of them is humility. You'll see this, remember, in Philippians 2, right? Not considering our own interests, but considering the other's interests. And you're thinking, well, what's the standard for that? As a reminder, as we're wrapping up, the standard is as Christ became a humble servant and was obedient to death and even death on the cross, that's the standard for humility that we're supposed to have. So we realize, God, we're supposed to be men and women, a body of believers who are marked by the humility that comes through the Holy Spirit. God, we move with humility. Another theme of that, of just being humble, allows us to be connected to Jesus and Jesus working in us that he might increase and we might decrease is the joy of the Lord, that would just overflow. I talked about that a little bit yesterday. I'm hoping this week you had application of that. As you got to know Jesus a little bit more this week, the joy of the Lord started to overflow. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Another major theme from this book is that the Philippians were encouraged to be of one mind and one purpose. They literally have the mindset of Christ, that they weren't just running around doing what they want to do all the time, but they would have the mind and focus of Jesus and his kingdom purposes. So as we get to the end of this letter, we get this idea of the secret of contentment is I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. Now, it's so good to have context. So sometimes you ever take a verse, you just kind of throw it on anything. Like maybe you really like to go to McDonald's and you're having like a Big Mac. And then you're like, I don't know how I can muscle down a second one. So you're like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We can just apply it to anything. Or maybe you're rooting for your favorite football team and, you know, the suffering, grieving Buffalo Bill fans. Or it's like, I can do all things. I'm believing this for the quarterback and the coach, right? We can kind of throw it. And then the other team's doing the exact same thing. We can kind of throw verses all around. But that doesn't actually really work that well because there's actually a context for this verse. The verse is in provision levels going up and down, that the consistency is not based on circumstances, but based on Christ. Now, Paul was on a mission. He wasn't just trying to eat another Big Mac. He wasn't just trying to see a football game one. He was actually wanting to preach the gospel all over the world. That's another important thing to take in context, that it wasn't just, I'm going to do all things I want to do the way I wanted to in my own kingdom. No, he's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me as I'm in situations where food level maybe is low, or maybe food are high, maybe resources are low, maybe resources are high. As I'm going out and spreading the gospel, there are challenges and difficulties I'm going to face, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is not talking about passivity Christianity. He's talking about being active in Christ and moving forward with the gospel, the kingdom advancement of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if you're not familiar with Paul, Paul faced a lot of hardships. And if this is your first time joining us, he's currently in prison writing this letter of encouragement. From prison, writing a letter of encouragement. If I was in prison, besides the grace of God, I'd probably have letters of discouragement. But Paul's writing, because of the grace of God, letters of encouragement to others who are outside of prison. But let's look a little bit more about Paul's background. What are some of the obstacles he's faced as he's wanting to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples all over the place? Let's look at a couple of these in the book in 2 Corinthians, actually. So if you go to 2 Corinthians 11 and 23, Paul shares about some of his challenges. So if you're wondering, like, yeah, you can be content when things are easy, Paul's life was not easy. And let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 says, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. And this is he's receiving for wanting to preach the gospel. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and that's literally people throwing stones at you, and they thought he was dead. Just think about that. But God's grace, he was able to get up again. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, and let's talk about danger. In danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. And then his greatest concern, you get to see the heartbeat that the Lord really gave him. In verse 28, he says, and apart from all other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. He wanted to see churches grow. And so that's the context. So when you're thinking, Paul, how are you writing this? Is your life just really fluffy and easy and simple, no problems? I don't think any of us, I'm pretty sure none of us, have ever gone through all these things that he just listed. But here's Paul through the Holy Spirit encouraging the Christians at Philippi, I believe New Hope Community Church, those who are watching today, that regardless of your circumstances, whether they're easy or hard, if you're in a place of low abundance or a lot of abundance, you can do all things that God's calling you to through his strength. Do you believe that this morning? That you can do all things in Christ as he is your strength. What is he calling you to do? Sometimes we wait for circumstances, but if we do that, we'll miss opportunities. I love that testimony this morning with David, that he was just looking for an opportunities, right, to step out in faith. There's opportunities all around us to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question is, Lord, is the harvest white? Yes, it is white, and it's ready. God, is there going to be workers that are going to go out into that harvest? Are we going to go out with your strength, even if circumstances are difficult, even if there's persecution, even if there's resistance, even if things don't go the way we want it? God, will we be faithful to be messengers and ambassadors of Christ for his kingdom glory? Paul talks about this whole idea of contentment also in 1 Timothy. I want to look at that for a moment. In verses 6 to 10, Paul writes to a young pastor, Timothy, in Ephesus. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And I love this perspective. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. That's a real healthy mindset, right? We brought nothing into this world, and we can bring nothing out of it. So sometimes the things that maybe you and I are so wanting to get and have a place of contentment, we can't even bring that, if you know Christ, to heaven with us, right? I'm not bringing my iPhone to heaven. Even though I wanted it for 10 years, a third of my life, it's not coming with me. Might we be looking at something else to fulfill us that really Christ is like, that you can't even bring that to heaven with you. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And specifically, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And not to get too deep in that one, but essentially, the question is, do you love Jesus or do you love money? Jesus said it this way, you can't serve two masters, right? You're going to love one or hate the other. You can't serve both God and money. And oftentimes, we can tell if we're content. You can tell if someone's content based on the master that they serve. And if you're finding yourself discontent this morning, might you be serving the wrong master? Right? Might we know that, God, I want to sing your praises and read the Bible, but God, when it comes to my lifestyle, I don't serve you all day long. I actually serve another master, a master of money, or maybe it's a relationship or an addiction. It's not Jesus. If you're realizing, wow, my contentment is way off, I encourage you for having an honest conversation. Lord, are you really Lord of my life? Even Jesus said, don't call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do, right? Don't give me lip service. If Jesus is Lord of your life, he's Lord of my life, then he gets to call the shots, right? He gets to tell us where we're going. He also gets to be the one that fills us with great contentment, realizing our Heavenly Father loves us, that our salvation in Christ should result in just the joy of the Lord overflowing in our lives. Are you content this morning? And if you're not, do you want to stay discontent? It's interesting, not everyone wants to be healthy or take the steps at least to be healthy. And sometimes we can realize we're discontent this morning, but we don't want to change anything. We want the benefits of Christ without knowing Jesus, right? We want the blessing of our Heavenly Father without the intimacy of your relationship abiding with our Lord and Savior. That's where you get the most discontentment in life, is when you taste and see that the Lord is good, but decide to eat a meal somewhere else. It will always fall short. And if you have yet to experience and taste and see that the Lord is good, you can know Jesus Christ right now. Whether you're watching this live or the recording, you can have a conversation with God. That God came, just like Paul was shared to all these different churches, he came on a rescue mission to save us from our sins, from your sins, from my sins, the things we did wrong. That out of love, he loved us. Out of love, he loved us while we're still sinners. He died for us. You can ask the Lord right now, wherever you are, whether you're walking or sitting, God, I want to know you. God, would you forgive me of my sins? Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life, not me. And God, would you cleanse me and make me new? If you have a conversation with God right now, it talks about in the scripture that that's a spiritual rebirth moment. It's nothing that we offer in the sense of we're working for salvation or a relationship. It's that God has made it all possible for us to have a relationship because he died on the cross for you and for me. And you can receive that today. Let's just take a moment right now just to pause and pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for those who are watching right now, whether it's live, recording the DVD. God, I pray for those who know you, but maybe have gone astray and been looking at another master, another Lord that's not you, and found great discontentment. Discontentment, Lord, is really just a byproduct of being with you or not. And Lord, forgive us for when we chase after something, God. I know I was really wanting that phone to be a contentment fill for me. God, forgive me for when I was wanting to have that fill something that you should have been filling. And God, as we're thinking about contentment today, Lord, if there's anything in our life that we need to let go of so that we can cling to Jesus, God, help us to let go of it. For those who are maybe wanting the benefits of you without knowing you, God, pray for a softening of their hearts that they could just fall deeper in love with you, Lord. For those who don't know you yet, God, I pray that even maybe this morning, this could be a time just to give their lives to Jesus, the one who gave their life for them, that they could have life and life abundantly, Lord. We just ask this, God, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Contentment, the secret of it. It's possible, even in a pandemic, because of Jesus. And I hope you believe that this morning, that you can have contentment today with none of your circumstances changing, which is remarkable. Paul was writing this from prison. So even if you get thrown in prison this week for sharing the gospel somewhere, you can still have contentment in Jesus. So I encourage you, as we're wrapping this series up today and we're looking at the secret of contentment, whether resources are low or high, let's not wait, right? Let's not wait for a tax return or a stimulus check or whatever you're hoping for that will bring that contentment to fill something that only Jesus can bring. Amen? Christ is our contentment. We brought nothing into this world. We can't take anything out of this world. So that should really help us filter out what our priorities are. And the things that God cares most about is loving him and being loved by him, loving people, and making disciples.